sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 40. A reminder that as we assemble together this morning, this is an assembly that God has called us each to. He has told you not to forsake the assembly. So, in a sense, He has said to each of you, as individuals and even as families, show up. He described when He said, when you come together in My name, I will be there in your midst. In a very real way this morning, more real than a lot of the things that we deal with, maybe even more real or substantial than the pew that you're sitting in, Jesus Christ meets with you this morning, and He speaks to you. So consider, as these are the words of Christ, this is what Jesus is saying to you this morning in this intentional meeting that you would hear from Him. Hear what Christ says. Is saying. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take that speck out that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. Pray with me. Oh God, help us now as we look at what you have said and as we use it as a scale or a measuring rod to look at our own lives, to look at our own hearts. Lord, shine your light into our hearts that we will respond correctly to what you have said, that we will hear what you say, that we will apply what you say, that you will be glorified as we both hear you and act on what you have said. Bless us now this morning with clarity of thought and mind. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bad fruit. Bad fruit. I wonder if you've had experiences with bad fruit. In my house and a number of places where I've lived, sometimes there's that stench that shows up in a kitchen. There's something that's been forgotten, something that's been lost. Maybe a random potato underneath a counter back in the shadows is starting to turn to liquid and stink. Bad fruit. A week ago or so, I was at Brady's Run Park and I was moving along and I actually saw a small piece of fruit sitting along the trail. It looked like a little tomato. It was familiar to me. I'd seen it before, but I couldn't remember what this little thing was. And I picked it up and my buddy asked, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to figure out what this thing is." And as I was looking at it, I was tempted to taste it. I know. Mothers are shaking their heads right now. I was tempted to throw it in my mouth and see what it was. And I was trying to tear the tight little skin on it to see if I could pull it apart and sniff it and see what it was. And as I couldn't get it, I was so close to just biting that skin and pulling it away just to open it, to smell this thing, to see what it was. Was it good or was it bad? And I couldn't get it. And eventually I tore it in the stinking juice that came out of this thing and poured over my fingers. The stench was there for hours following. And there was a good part about that. As I continued to smell that stink for the next hours, I just kept thinking, I'm really glad I didn't put that in my mouth. We look at our own lives and the things that are going on in our lives. We look at our responses to one another. We look at the things that we say. And we're told in Scripture that this is the fruit. This is what is growing out of our hearts. We look at our sin. The painful reality of sin is it's not a mistake that we've committed for the most part. But it's actually what has overflowed from our heart. It actually comes from what is actively in our heart. The active condition of our heart. So this stench, as you would imagine from this fruit, or the stench that you can think of from the lost potato, the bad tomato that you got on a salad at McDonald's one time. As you think of that, we think that that thing that you said that hurt a family member, or was stupid and hurt somebody that you live with, or was difficult and was sinful, something that you said at work. The painful reality is those things have come up from our hearts. So Jesus brings us to the place where he's not just saying, control your tongue. Be better. He's not just announcing that. He's not just saying that. He's saying you need to look at the reality of these things that you say, the reality of the meditation of your heart, and see that that's directly tied into that foundation, as we saw at the end of Psalm 19. It's flowing from our relationship with him, or some lack of relationship with him. So that changes that hurtful thing that you said. It changes it from being a mistake or an accident or the results of your circumstances to being an expression of the reality of your heart. So the call for you this morning is to check the fruit of your heart. That is, to look at the reality of your relationship with Jesus Christ. So our first step, number one, look to see if you are following Jesus. Luke 6:40. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. So these people who think that they have arrived, as he was talking to the Sadducees and to the Pharisees and everybody who studied under the Sadducees and the Pharisees, thinking that, hey, all right, I'm going to listen to this guy and I'm going to judge what he is saying. I'm going to decide if I need to listen to Jesus or not. And he's saying, look, do you really think you're above me? Do you really think that you've arrived? Most of us would say, I never think of Jesus that way. I never question that in my relationship with him. Do I think I'm greater than Jesus? Well, with that, we could just flow down to the end of the section where he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If that's the reality of our lives, and every one of our sins is that, we are calling him Lord, Lord, and we're not doing what he says. When we recognize this overflow of our hearts and the things that we speak and the meditations of our hearts, aren't these things that glorify him? Aren't these things that are life and our truth that are not being poured out? We're in that position where we're calling him Lord, Lord, but not doing what he says. In that place, we are considering ourselves better or above the teacher. Let's look at what Jesus did and what it will be like when we are following him. In John 5:24, Jesus made this statement. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, now here we are, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, that's the Father, so I hear you, Jesus, I believe that the Father sent you, I am trusting in you as the prophet, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me, he has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So we're looking at functioning from this firm foundation that we looked at already. This foundation that I trust Jesus. Jesus has spoken. I believe him. I believe that the Father sent him. So therefore I have life. So this isn't a moral sermon. This isn't me just telling you be better or act better. This is from the foundation of following Christ and checking to see if that's the reality. In John 6:67 through 69. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So as we would be struggling along in this world, struggling along in the shadows, we're looking and seeing the reality that Jesus is speaking life. He is giving out daily exactly what we need. He speaks truth. He speaks life. The prayer meeting this past week, as we went around and we each shared our prayer request, what mine was, I need better time in the Word. It's easy for me. I can go and I can prepare a sermon and I can think, you know, look here. I put 15 hours into this sermon this week. I spent 15 hours, 20 hours in the Word this week. To an extent, it nourishes my soul. To an extent, but largely it's me preparing a meal for somebody else. And it wasn't till Thursday morning or Friday morning when I sat down and I actively forced myself. I even set my little timer for my time to pray before I read, that I felt like I was actually meeting with him. It's necessary for us. It's necessary. And I'll tell you, so many of the questions and the anxieties that I've been having, he spoke and he answered these things with his word. As we would be following him, we are in his word and he is speaking to us. So from this foundation then, we look at the apostles and the way Jesus worked with them and through them. In Acts 14:18 through 21. And when they had summoned them, so this is the Sadducees and the Pharisees summoning the disciples. When they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Now maybe you felt that pressure. Maybe somebody has actively told you, don't talk about Jesus. Or maybe you've imposed that on yourself. I can't talk about Jesus. And you walk in silence. They commanded him not to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. There is this place where you are following Jesus, where he is speaking to you, where he is nourishing your heart. Your heart is being filled with him, and from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is to be the reality of our evangelism, when we're always ready to give a reason for the joy and the hope that is within us. We talk about Christ Jesus. We see then that there were consequences in Acts 4:18 through 21 still. When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God because of what happened. So now in this place of following Jesus, Revelation 12:11 talks about this idea as well. We see that the accuser has come into the world. That's the one who tells you, shut up. Don't talk about Jesus. You're empty, you're foolish. But it makes this statement about the church in Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him, that is the accuser, because of the blood of the Lamb, that is your salvation as you trust in Christ, because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death. Overcame him, both, by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. This evidence of their redemption being expressed by their testimony. So we look at ourselves then and say, am I following him? He has spoken life. I say, I believe this life. I say that this is the reality of my eternity. I trust Jesus, and there's nowhere else for me to go because he has the words of life. From this place then, I cannot stop speaking about what I have seen and heard. And I see that my rescue and my redemption are tied to, annexed to, extending from. My testimony is there because I'm saved. We need to come back into this reality and be this close to Christ that we see and we hear what he has said, so we can't stop speaking about him. Our next step, number two. So Jesus comes from this place saying, you will be like me. And our second step is, picture your planks. Luke 6:41. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? This picture, as he is stating it, he is pointing out the people and says, you are like a crowd of people walking around with logs sticking out of their eyes. He refers to them as blind people. Everyone bumping into each other. And whether this is, some people imagine that Jesus is given a joke at this point, like it's supposed to be kind of a chuckling thing. I think it's more of a gruesome sight. People walking around with a plank sticking out of their eyes, bumping into each other, and everybody saying, no, no, let me help you. No, let me help you. No, no, I'll help you. And nobody is being taken care of. So people who are blinded by logs in their eyes, and if we go back to the way it was being described earlier, and we understand the heart of the Pharisees, criticizing everybody else. They are this messed up. They are this hurt. They are this sinful. But they still find a reason to look down on everybody else. We can see these examples both in the Pharisees as they were rejecting Jesus Christ and still looking down on everybody else. If we want to take a step back and look at the secular world, we could look at the media, as they are able to grab anything that happens, find a celebrity that said something stupid about it, and show how stupid the celebrity is. We can look at the celebrities themselves living in sin and still finding ways to look down on everybody and anybody else. So we have to look and see our own lives and see our logs that we have. And this is going to look like not thinking that we're in a place to fix everybody. We're not. You are not in the place to fix everybody. And if you see that you're not in a place to fix everybody, you don't approach them like, oh, you sad sinner, let me help you. But we come to them as people who have also been hurt by sin and death. Say, look, I've been sick too. I am sick too. I see you limp. I limp too. Let me show you the one who helps me, who helps me walk through this world, who has cared for me, the one who has rescued me. That's completely different than you little fool, you sad little dirty fool. I will help you. That's the posture of the Pharisee, with the log in his eye, and can't help anyone else. A part of the ways that we deal with people as they have the specks in their eyes, we look and sometimes you're wrestling with people's sin against you. And it's easy to judge the sins that are against you, what people are doing to you. But it's also helpful for us to look that that stuff that is against you isn't near as significant as your own sin against Christ. You've been forgiven so much. You've been forgiven so much. I don't know that any of us could come up with a sin that someone has committed against us as an individual that's greater than the sin that we ourselves have committed against Christ. I don't think we can fathom something that's more significant. From that place, if we recognize that, we are in a place of humility. No matter how big someone's speck is in their eye around us, it's a place of gentleness. It's a place of love. It's a place of affection. It's a place of understanding. So this brings us to our third step. Check your own heart. We would look at our lives, and I don't know what specific sins you're dealing with. I hope you do. I was talking to someone this week, and I actually fall into the same category. Sometimes I've been in a place where I might have a hard time saying a sin that I was convicted of recently. That's a scary place to be. To be feeling as if we have arrived. Sometimes we compare ourselves to where we were in the past. Oh, I was this bad before, but now I'm this good. I'm pulling it together. I've actually heard people say some things like, don't pray for patience. Because if you pray for patience, God's going to dump a bunch of stuff on you to make you learn patience. Well, you know, patience is the fruit of the Spirit. That's a thing that we're supposed to have. I don't think it is not bad to pray for any of the fruits of the Spirit. It's not bad to pray for any of the fruits of the Spirit. But as we're dealing with our own hearts, we have to see that the things that we do, the things that we say, bear witness to our hearts. For this, we're going to read verses 42 through 46. Luke 6, 42 through 46. Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So we look at the things in our lives that stink. Like bad fruit. We look at where our thorns have cut other people. And we know the reality that you are the biggest problem in your life. Tough truth. But you actually are the biggest problem in your own life. If you're looking at other people and thinking, it's their fault. They're the ones making me behave badly. We're missing it. You actually need to be your own biggest concern. Your own heart needs to be your own biggest concern. When we sin and we fall short of the glory of God, it is evidence that our heart is not being anchored in, is not being nourished by Jesus Christ. When we look at others and think they're the problem, we have the problem of pride or self-righteousness. When we look, if we're living in circles and slander and selfishness is a regular part of our lives, we have to recognize and see we are our own biggest problem. Another way to analyze our own lives or to check our own fruit, this is our fourth step, ask, am I speaking life? Luke 6:45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So what are we going to call good and evil at this point as we're considering it? Think about it. What are you going to call good and evil? What would come out of your mouth that would be good? What would come out of your mouth that would be evil? Loosely, we could look at things that are evil or things that are destructive. Things that are hurting people, corrupting language, slander, putting people down, hurting people with our words. And good, we can look at those things that are moving people towards Jesus Christ. Now, in our own culture, there might be little to none of that this past week if we look back. In what circles have you lived in this past week? And in each of those, did you speak to draw people to or point people to the Lord Jesus Christ? This would be good fruit. This would be goodness, a relationship with Jesus Christ, filling your heart and overflowing. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Even if we look at our past week and we think of the things we wish we had said to other people to cut them down, it's so evidence of our own heart. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, building up according to the need of the moment, so that it'll give grace to those who hear. We look at our lives and we can see the evidence of how we have been nourished, what we have been putting into our hearts by what flows out of it. We look and we ask the question, have I been nourishing my heart with pride? Have I been cultivating self-righteousness in my heart? That will be evidenced by the real fruit or the lack of fruit in our lives. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, saying that God is the one who will nourish you, nourish your heart, strengthen your heart, that it will be a fountain within you. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. If we are cultivating self-righteousness in our hearts and pride in our hearts. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is how we check our hearts, by the things that we actually say. If we go even deeper to the things that we meditate on in our hearts. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's despair. Is there room for despair in the Christian life? If we look at what he has said, we trust in him. At our fifth step is very much like a call to repentance. Our fifth step is act on his word. As he is determined to meet with you this morning, as he is determined to give you this message, the question is, what will we do with it? Luke 6:47-49. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. You are knowing Christ, you are trusting Christ, you are built up from there. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Is this you? Is this you? Are you dug down deep, down to Christ Jesus, meeting with him, building your life on what he has said and doing what he said? He's saying a storm's coming. It is coming. It is coming and it will come upon you. It will be the reality of your life. Every one of you will be tested. And if you are on the rock of Christ Jesus, acting on his word, when this storm comes, when the waves come, it'll be dashed against your house and will not even shake it. If you are listening and doing what he has said. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it and it immediately collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. And I expect at this moment, if you were truly analyzing your heart, many of us would have a tear in our eye at this moment. Many of us have built a house on sand again and again and again. And we can look at the shambles that it has been. We can look at the destruction that has been present. We know the wounds. We know the scars on our heart. We can all look back and say, I have been there. I have built a house on my own desires. I have built a house based on my own plans. I have built on my own foundation, and that house has been crushed. Again and again. And as he speaks these words to us, and as a tear forms in our eye about the scars and the wounds that we have, and many of us the scars and the wounds that our brothers and our sisters, and many of us the scars and wounds that our children have, we're given a better word. We are given a real hope. We are given a real foundation. Christ Jesus, what he is saying to you this morning. Look at your heart. Look at the fruit of your life. Look at the overflow of your heart, what you speak with your mouth. Look at it and see. Do you imagine that you are greater than your teacher? Or are you like your teacher? Are you like Christ Jesus? Now, this isn't to say that any of us have arrived. And it also isn't to say that any of us should despair at this point. There is hope in Christ Jesus. There is life in Christ Jesus. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. There is hope. That is, there is expectation that he will do something beautiful. If you'll listen. If you'll do it. Look at your heart. Look at your fruit. Set your hope on Christ. Do what he says. Pray with me. Lord, our Lord, you are so excellent in all the earth, and we thank you that you have spoken to us faithfully. We thank you that we can know you and love you and know what you have said, and that by your Holy Spirit we can walk in accordance with your truth. Bless us as your people as we commit not to simply being hearers of your word, but doers. Be glorified in our lives as we love you and follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.